Welcome to the 2022 edition of the Radio Lumi Artist Spotlight Series. These spotlights are meant to highlight Luminato artists and the work they've contributed. You'll hear them describe themselves and their art in their own voices. Coming up is Sherry. Sherry Austin-Knoll is a Métis visual artist, community activist, and educator. They work across mediums including sculpture, performance, beading, Indigenous tattoo revival, and more. Their work speaks to their experiences as Métis and queer, while focused on human and non-human relationships in a multitude of ways. Sherry currently lives and creates on the lands of the Anishinaabeg Nation, home of the Three Fires Confederacy, and near the Delaware Nation in a region known as Chatham-Kent, Ontario. They are a contributing artist to Crip Collab Issue 4, a digital zine from Sticky Mangoes, now in its second edition with Luminato. You can follow this artist's work as at S-O-Knoll, that's N-A-U-L-T, on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, or through their website, sherryknoll.com, that's S-H-E-R-I-N-A-U-L-T.com. You can find the zine with accompanying image descriptions on the Luminato website. You can also find spotlights from other Crip Collab contributors from this and last year on Radio Lumi through the Access Hub at luminatofestival.com/access-hub. These interviews were recorded before the first draft of the Crip Collab issue had been revealed by Pri Rahal, the curator and creator of the zine. This episode of the Artist Spotlight series contains language some audiences may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I am Sherry or Austin-Knoll. I go by both names. I'm a visual artist, community sort of activist, and I also am sometimes an educator. I am a petite, pale, mixed Indigenous person. I have short brown hair. I wear glasses. I have many noticeable tattoos, including a couple on my hands and face. And mask leaning, tend to wear comfortable clothing. Right now I'm wearing a black sweater. And my pronouns are they, them. And I've also started mentioning Wia, which is used in both Michif and Nahewan, so Cree. There isn't really a she, he, her, him in the language. It's just Wia for everyone. So I really like that. I submitted a poem to Crip Collab. I was really excited in the thematic of futures and futurism. It's something I think about a lot in my art practice. I love writing poems because it frees me from some of the pressures that I put on myself with visual arts and allows a different kind of personal emotional expression. I tend to use in my poetry some styles of writing that are influenced by how people speak on the web through chat and things. So some symbols, some unusual spacing, adding like numbers instead of words, things like that. And I find that that allows me to describe some of the complexities of what goes on in my mind, especially when I'm distressed in the sort of fragmenting way that thoughts can form. The poem that I submitted, I called Seed. And I think it came about in a sort of funny way for me. I really love planting and growing, and I had gotten some quotation marks wild seeds last year and was working on germinating them and learning about that. And there's certain seeds that you have to like put in the fridge or even in the freezer or put through sort of harsh circumstances in order to signal to this not generally cultivated plant that it's safe for it to grow. So that's like with sweetgrass seeds, for example, they would generally be outside over winter. So getting them to germinate in an artificial circumstance, especially because it's a plant that usually spreads via root systems, can be really complicated. And I was feeling really enamored with that process and writing about that, and got to a certain point in this kind of analogy I was working through with myself, where I was thinking about like hardship that me and my loved ones have gone through in our life, and then growing and sprouting or flourishing. And I sort of hit a point in that analogy where I was like, wait, no, I don't want us to have hardship to like grow or flourish. I'm not going to share the poem itself, and it will be in the Crip Collab zine online for anyone who wants to take a look. But the poem kind of has this interruption right at the end where I'm like, fuck that. I don't want us to have this hardship. So what I was sharing kind of about what comes up in it and hardship, and then growing and imagining a future that doesn't have to have that hardship, was really the context that fit with futurism for me. I think a lot about Indigenous futurisms, especially, and I think that for so many people, the concept of futurism or imagining futures is like very technological and tends to be removed from the natural. But if we're thinking about Indigenous futurisms, the natural's so present. And to some people, you know, in what is definitely like a very, unfortunately, like socially coded racist way, would think of some of the things I see as futurism as even like primitivism, because, you know, it involves growing and it involves being present with the land. But I think that's a more accurate view of a sustainable future anyways. For the last few years, have predominantly worked in sculpture, or at least the few years prior to the pandemic. There's that sort of pandemic time warp happening in my mind here. Over the course of the pandemic, I've started expanding into video and more performance art that is undocumented. And I really like that because it can be shared around the globe in a way that, you know, it's a lot harder to share a sculpture made out of a log that like weighs a lot. But my art practice tends to reference bodies, both human and non-human, in a sort of entangled relationship. So that ties into the kind of comparison between a seed and a person, or a plant and a person, that comes up in the poem. But building on those connections for me speaks to a future that prioritizes coexisting and sees like the entanglement between humans and non-human beings. It's hard to summarize kind of all of the reasons for like human and non-human entanglement, Indigenous worldviews, and futurisms in my experience, but some of it is rooted in being raised in a way where I didn't see myself and like the animals around me in a sort of consumer and consumed or subject object relationship the way I think a lot of other people are raised. And early in my art practice, a lot of the work I was making was attuned to trying to describe this kind of difference in perspective or share my perspective with others, because I think it ties into my neurodivergence that for a long time, I didn't realize other people didn't see the world the way that I do. And so I was very perplexed and confused that it kind of turned out that lives weren't lived and the world didn't exist in these ways that I had sort of assumed that it would on a broader scale based on my own experiences. And I've always really loved art, and especially visual art, because that shows up a lot more for me as a way to share my experience of the world with other people. And I think there's something really kind of magnificent in that. It's a way of going outside of verbal language and doing that, because obviously language has so many complexities and limitations for me and for so many people in different ways. I have so many relationships, I would say, to language in so many different ways. It's something that has sustained me at points in my life. One of my ways of coping with a lot of trauma, and now looking back, I would say neurodivergence when I was young, was reading like an extreme amount as something that was, you know, approved of by the people around me, that gave me a reason to go be alone rather than in social situations, as a form of escapism, as a form of developing understandings of the world around me. And then I love words as a way to communicate, but I find them very difficult. I definitely deal with like some auditory processing issues where sometimes a person will speak to me and there is no words there, or I kind of have to wait for things to process and maybe parse into something that I can understand. And I find writing, especially like critical or academic writing, while it's something I'm usually very happy with at the end of creating that, it's like torture for me to get it out of myself. And then I also really want to lean into potentials for being critical of what I can do with the English language, which is the only language I know very well as an Indigenous person and as somebody who should have access to other languages that describe the world differently. And I'm trying to learn some Micif, and I know a few words from Nahaoan and Anishinaabemowin, but I struggle a lot with learning languages. So I do find kind of a visual vernacular tends to be much easier for me to grasp. I think one of the things I've been striving to internalize over the last year is that I'm allowed to take up space. And I've dealt with chronic health issues, neurodivergence, trauma. And yet, because in many instances, I have a strong and able body, I have a hard time feeling like I'm allowed to take up space as someone who deals with disability. And so allowing myself to do so feels like a really big and exciting move. So I'm really keen to share the artwork. I really like the message that the poem contains and feel happy to be sharing that and excited to see what work gets alongside in the zine.
Again, that was Sherry. And remember, you can always find their work as at S-O Noult, that's N-A-U-L-T, on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, or through their website, sherrynoult.com. That's sherrynoult.com. To find this spotlight and others, check out Radio Lumi. Or you can find the art and more on the artist in Crypt Collab, both available through the Access Hub on the Luminato website. That's luminatofestival.com/access-hub. This spotlight was produced and edited by yours truly, Dev Ramsewak, for Radio Lumi as part of Luminato 2022. Thanks for joining us.